yes, it's true. There's been a transfer of power. Yeah, I'm going to tell you about it right now. Welcome to another week of the Revelation series, and we're in Revelation chapter 20. We're getting deep into it. I'm on verse 8. We're on verse 8. And that's what you're going to find out today. We're going to do verse 8. But the transfer of power, remember I said that our friend Travis Penner of Vancouver, British Columbia, could no longer process these shows for you. He's the guy putting the titles on, putting the intro on the front, and doing the MP3 for you with the theme music and the intro music, the outro music. A great help, and we laud and celebrate Travis Penner for the sacrifice he's done for this show, to get this show to you for 2 years. Yeah, ever since the bunker days. But now, Travis said he's having time constraints. He has a lovely wife, lovely daughter, needs to spend more time with them. I get it. Fantastic. Someone stepped up to the plate. And when I put out the call, this person I'm about to tell you about wrote me an email. The subject line was, "Pick me!" 2 exclamation points. Well, I was instantly drawn to that. Pick me. It's like, oh, remember when you were in class and the teacher asked a question, and there are always those students that would raise their hands really high and go, oh. So if anybody has that kind of enthusiasm, yes, you're on the team. You're chosen. You are a chosen one. And Selena in Fairhaven, Massachusetts, answered the call. Selena, lovely woman with a lovely family in Fairhaven, Massachusetts, is now the one who is putting the titles on the show, making that nice little segue from the Rising Tulips into this show, and putting the MP3 file together. So thank you, Selena. And she says, ever since I took on this job, wacky things have been happening with my computer and my phone. I'm having all sorts of technical hassles. I said, welcome to Team Zender. Yes, this is what happens. It's not Team Zender, really. It's that you're putting out the truth, and you're helping to distribute the truth. You're helping to distribute an honest expression and a thoroughly researched and a good version application, good scriptural version application of the truth. And so you've shown up on the radar, my friend. You can bail out anytime. You're not under any obligations, Selena. But I will have you know how you show up on Satan's radar. Satan doesn't care if millions and millions of people are being deceived in the organized religions. Doesn't care. He likes it. He started it. He's the father of that. He also doesn't care if there are 12 people or 15, 20 people, 100 people who know the truth, because they're contained. They're in a small little group. But he cares deeply when a few of those people in that little group who know the truth, who see the true God, when they're trying to take it to the millions of people who are deceived, or to the millions of people who don't know or don't care. It's when somebody sticks their head out of the little hole to take this to the world, to put it on the internet, to put it on YouTube, to put it on a website or a blog. That's when you show up on Ratface's radar. And so your life becomes one of peril / blessing. Hope it doesn't scare you off, Selena. I'm not trying to scare you off. I'm just saying that I'm just saying that you've made a stand for the truth now, and you're on the radar. Don't let that fear you. Don't let that scare you, kid. Don't, please, because it's an honor to be doing this. Don't worry. Greater is he who is in you than he was in the world. You're totally protected by Christ, and you're doing the work of Christ, and there'd be great reward for you. And yes, so it's a great cause. And she knows this, which is so great. Travis knew it too. He knew that it is an honor and a privilege, just as I am honored and privileged to be doing this. So we're all on the same team. My sister Kelly, who gets this show to you, emails it. She's on the front lines of this thing. I am. We're not the only ones, of course. Other people are. And Selena is, so I thank God for her. Let's see, what do I need to say before I jump in here? Oh, a viewer named Nicholas, this is true, says he misses the phone cord. I appreciate that, you know, because I usually have sometimes my light here over on this side of the screen if you're watching the laundry cam, and I have the phone cord hanging down sometimes. It provides a little balance here, a cool little tableau. still life with phone cord and lamp. And so Nicholas actually misses it. So this one's for you, Nicholas, the phone cord. I'm going to put it back here for today's show. Thank you for that. Folks, if you want to get through the Eon easier, I got a couple great videos for you to watch on YouTube. There's one of Rita Hayworth. Somebody put some dance moves of Rita Hayworth, the goddess of love. That was her nickname. Beautiful woman. Look up on YouTube, Rita Hayworth and Stayin' Alive. Somebody took the Bee Gees hit, Stayin' Alive, and put it to Rita Hayworth dance moves in several of her films. She was in like 161 films. Fantastic. You're going to love to see her skirt swirling around. It's just amazing. And go to the mashup of Uptown Funk with 66 dance scenes. Somebody took 66 dance scenes from different movies and put it to the song Uptown Funk, Bruno Mars. Look up Uptown Funk and 66 dance scenes. Many of the dance scenes contain this woman here, Judy Garland. She is in many of the scenes. You will see her. It's spectacular entertainment. Help you get through this eon. Now, Revelation chapter 20. There are two things going on in Revelation chapter 20. There are two different things happening during the millennium. You have the world finally under a priesthood, learning about God. You have Satan bound for 1,000 years. That's his destiny during the 1,000 years, but there's also, and I haven't mentioned this yet, the destiny of the saints, and the saints are to be ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. So listen to this. After we read of the binding of Satan in verse 3, and the messenger casts Satan into the submerged chaos and locks it, seals it over him, lest he should be deceiving the nations, because he will do just that. The second he is released, doesn't learn a thing in 1,000 years. What the heck's been going on in the submerged chaos if Satan, as soon as he gets out, goes back to his old ways? It's like a guy being in jail for 10 years for bank robbery. He comes out of jail, and on Tuesday, on a Wednesday, he robs a bank. What the heck? It doesn't tell you very much about the salutary effects of prison or the salutary effects of the submerged chaos. Apparently, there aren't any. It was just a holding place. The salutary effects will come, but not in the submerged chaos. This is proof. Satan will be reformed in the lake of fire, tormented consciously in the lake of fire. Only human beings are not tormented consciously in the lake of fire. We're going to get to that in this very chapter. This chapter is loaded because in this chapter, we're going to talk about the second death. We're going to talk about the great white throne, two of my favorite topics. In chapter 21, we're going to talk about the new heavens and a new earth and the new city Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. And in chapter 22, more details on the new earth. And then the wrap up. Can you believe where we are? Chapter 20. This is fantastic. Now, look. Oh, yeah. And after that, after these things at the end of verse 2, he must be loosed a little time. And we're going to see very soon what happens when he is loosed. In verse 7, in fact, we're going to see this. But in the meantime, I want to see the wonderful things that's happening in the 1,000 years, and here it is, verse 4. And I perceived thrones, and they are seated on them. Doesn't say who they are, but it soon will. And judgment was granted to them, and the souls of those executed because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who do not worship the wild beast or its image and did not get the emblem on their forehead and on their hand, they also live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Oh, verse 5's loaded, but I'm going to wait on that. They live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. So they is two different groups of people here. And this is astounding, I think, what we're learning here. That there are going to be Israel's saints from all generations who will rise at the dawn of the millennium to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. How specific can you get? How dare anyone try to spiritualize this? It can't get any more spiritual than dead people are rising from the dead. They're coming out of their tombs. And people who have been there a long time are coming out of their tombs. And people who have been there only a short time are coming out of their tombs. It's the same thing with Christ at the great white throne. Says that the dead, the great and the small, are raised. You got great ones, you got small ones. Here, you have people who have been dead 2,000 years rising, and people who have been recently martyred rising. And they both have one thing in common. They're going to reign, albeit in different capacities, in the 1,000 years. The Reign of the Saints. It's a good title for this show. The Reign of the Saints. I think that's what I'll call it. The Reign of the Saints. So, what two people am I talking about? Okay, I believe that in verse 4 when it says, and the souls of those executed because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, I think that's the, probably not exclusively, but I see the apostles there. Because it says after that, and those who do not worship the wild beast or its image and do not get the emblem on their forehead. You see, Peter, James, John, and the other disciples didn't have the opportunity to take the mark of the wild beast, to not worship the wild beast or take the emblem because they weren't alive during that time. And yet they were executed because of the testimony of Jesus. And it says, I perceive thrones. See, this is why I see the disciples in this verse, because when Peter told Jesus, we have sacrificed very much for you, we have left homes and we have been kicked out of our neighborhoods and the guys we went to high school with think we're crazy, we've been persecuted, we've had lots of trouble here because of you, what's our reward? And Jesus acknowledged his complaint and said, you're going to sit on one of 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now I'm reading of the fruition of this promise Christ made to Peter. And I'm going to be happy to see it. I won't be on earth. I'll be in heaven with you. But we can visit earth. We can. I tell people that all the time. We're not limited to the heavens. Martin, I'm going to be in the heaven. I'm going to miss the earth. Well, just come back down and visit it then. Do you think we're not going to want to see this great event of Peter, James, John, and the rest of the disciples, Stephen, coming from their tombs? Yeah, I can't wait to see that guy. The last thing he knew, he was having large rocks thrown at his head. The last thing he knew. So he's going to wake up and it's going to seem like instantly to him. He's like, oh, where are the people throwing the rocks? Why aren't I in the stoning pit? Yeah, guess what, Stephen? You've been dead for 2,000 years, but now look, there's Jesus over there, the one that you saw standing at the right hand of God. Now he's standing over there next to the temple. This is the millennium, dude. You're through it. You've been dead for 2,000 years. You've been raised. And look, there's Peter, James, John, and they're all going to have a great reunion. And the wine is going to be flowing like water because Jesus said he would not drink of the fruit of the vine until he drank it with his disciples in the kingdom. This is it. Great celebration. I can't wait to see it. So they're going to sit on thrones. But here's the cool thing. And I'm going to tie this, I'm going to compare this with the body of Christ because it's kind of the same thing. So not only are the souls of those executed because of the testimony of Jesus going to be sitting on thrones, these are the big boys, the thrones. But they're also going to be, and those who did not worship the emblem of the wild beast, and they also live and reign with Christ, they also live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. They also. So the dead are being reunited, those who never met each other. So you have the ancient dead, the Peter, James, John types, Daniel types, and then you have people who died in the year 2023, and they're also raising up, and so they're meeting Peter, James, John, Stephen, Andrew, Bartholomew, David, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're all meeting, and so there's going to be an instant camaraderie. There's going to be instant communion. You know how it is. We don't see each other for a while, let's say, and then somebody sponsors a conference, and then we see each other. We haven't seen each other maybe for 5 years, and bang, we hit the ground running. We're instantly united. We're instantly jabbering away because it's like there's no time lost because we're united by that common bond of spirit. And it'll be that way at the snatching away. This is the comparison that I'm making. When we're snatched away, we're going to be taken away alive. There are some people who died 2 years ago. I have dear friends who died in the last 2 years, members of the body of Christ. Paul died 2,000 years ago. Paul is going to be snatched away together with us, but he's going to raise first, and then an instant later, the living are going to be snatched away, but also the recently dead. The recently dead are going to rise at the same time as Paul, and Paul's going to meet them. I compare this to to the Apostle Peter meeting somebody named Joe who was martyred because of his faith in the year 2023. And they're going to raise and be on the earth together. And Joe is going to watch Peter assume his throne. And Peter's going to wave to him, and Joe's going to be immortal also because he was a faithful Israelite or a faithful proselyte of Israel. And there's going to be this fantastic reunion. Likewise with us. So God doesn't forget these things. This is the fantastic thing I'm seeing in the Unveiling 20, verses 4 and 5, is that the ancient dead and the recently dead both rise to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now, not everybody is in the rules in the same capacity. The 12 are on thrones, okay? There's also the 144,000. They don't have thrones specifically, but they're still big shots, and they're still ruling and reigning after a fashion, in a certain capacity. Likewise, the body of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, there's the glory of the sun, the moon, there's the glory of stars. Even star differs from star in glory, thus also is the resurrection of the dead. So we raise with Paul, we see Paul. What's Paul? There's Paul. And he's going to assume an amazing throne in the heavens, and we're going to give him his place. We're not going to be envious of him. We're going to say, yes, Paul, you deserve it. Yeah, you had your head chopped off. You were hated by your countrymen. You were a day and a night in the swamp. You deserve it. Take your throne. And each of us will have our own place in the celestial realm. There will be no jealousy. There will be no envy. There will be appreciation for everyone. This is the great reunion that we're going to experience with Paul, the ancient dead and the recent dead and the living. And this will also be the reunion of the circumcision saints, or those proselytes of Israel. And also, some will be alive at the time. So we have all three categories, really, in both callings. We have the ancient dead, the recent dead, and the living. In Israel, there's the ancient dead, the recent dead, and those who walk alive into the kingdom. The 144,000, I believe, well, I know, they're not martyred. They go through it. They're untouched, they're sealed, and they walk alive. So that's our counterpart in the 1,000 years would be the 144,000. Paul's counterpart in the body of Christ, his counterpart in the circumcision, the kingdom on earth, would probably be Peter, James, and John. And the counterpart of the recently dead for us, my friends, Charlie Kronk, my friend Nelson Cardwell, these folks, their counterpart in the kingdom would be those who were martyred during the tribulation. This is all as literal as it can be, one of my main points here, and it is all as spiritual as can be. Why would you even want to spiritualize something that is already so darn spiritual?